Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. This is Scott Killaby. Some people shouldn't be forgiven, not because of what they did, but because of how you feel and how you haven't forgiven them. And if you try to forgive them or do things to bring about forgiveness, you're still raging at the unconscious level or hurt, and you can't feel it. Right now, if I could show you the number of people, it would blow your mind, that are doing KI who thought they had forgiven people from their past, but they never tapped into the repression level. So for the very people that they once forgave, or they thought, they're finding buried rage. And that also explains why their suffering didn't end, no matter how many forgiveness practices they did and so forth. So this gives them an answer to a long-held question. Am I forgiving the past, or am I just, bypassing or avoiding? And the answer is B, avoiding. Many people who are anger repressors kind of show up a certain way where we want to be forgiving, because that goes in alignment. That's in alignment with our persona. Certainly more than being angry. Our persona may be, we want to be compassionate, empathetic, forgiving, good, because we're repressing anger. So we might rush to forgiveness, actually, because it keeps us safe from the buried anger, and we can get love that way. It's just keep forgiving. That's the nature of kind of codependency. It's like you keep just going along with something. Or you even enable it to happen when your real feelings are that you're angry as hell or hurt by someone who you're going along with. We become divided within ourselves because of this, like literally walking around with buried hurt and anger and sadness, but at the surface we're presenting as something else or thinking that we don't have that. Because that's the main duality. Many people haven't even tapped into one half of the main duality yet, the buried emotions. And so, you think you're forgiving someone, or you want to, but resentment is one of the telltale signs. It's like you forgive someone, but you... Do you know the feeling when you have buried anger of when you think you've forgiven someone, but it doesn't work? Because when you're around them, you just feel something that doesn't, it's like you don't feel comfortable fully. That's one way of saying it. At the very least, you could say you just don't feel comfortable around people that were storing anger and hurt. I mean, really comfortable, like we can feel and express everything. And because what we have to hold back to get love is often a lot. And so how can we feel comfortable in our own skin with people if we're having to hold back these things just to get their love and overlook things that are really bothering us? You want to know how crazy it is that anger repressors will come into KI thinking that they're very forgiving and accepting, and they end up being angry at everyone that they were accepting and forgiving towards because it wasn't real. And then that brought resentment, more anger. But because we store that, we don't know. So I say your forgiveness journey begins when you get to the buried emotions, whether it's hurt, sadness, or anger, because that is the producer of the suffering. And if you end suffering, you don't have to seek forgiveness. The seeking forgiveness comes because we keep creating the suffering from buried emotions, and then we don't know that it comes from that. So we seek forgiveness at the surface and then store more anger and hurt below the surface. And that's our whole life as an anger repressor, or even hurt repressors. Hurt and sadness repressors might get angry and then have to apologize in a relationship and seek forgiveness. But then that covers up their buried hurt they don't address that. And then the people that they're apologizing to, like if they're anger repressors, then don't have to and won't access their anger after that apology. So if you don't think that guilt and forgiveness and even shame protects us from healing and from authenticity, I have some tools to show you. I have some things to show you. Because that's what it is. Until you touch into authenticity, you really can't know these things, because guilt can feel like the core. You can just feel guilty about something and seek forgiveness and think that when you get it, you've really dealt with that issue. When the guilt was just protecting you from the fact that you're really hurt or angry at the core. And the forgiveness just covered it up. And now think about doing that over and over again. In so subtle ways that we don't even realize. Just like, not that, see, it's not the point of like to yell at everyone or get angry at everyone, but to be conscious of how that's driving us if we're anger repressors, the buried anger, so that we can process it, pull aside, process it, so that when we're with people, we don't have that energy there that just is primed to create suffering. I remember the first time someone close to me who was a hurt and sadness repressor, I started to see a pattern of that person apologizing after getting angry. And I remember in my body, I heard a, no, don't do that. I felt bad about it for a moment. Because, you know, someone's trying to apologize. I'm like, who am I to say no? That's rude. Until I felt it in my body and I was like, I went into the unconscious. I couldn't feel the anger at that moment when that person was apologizing. But I went into inquiry and I was like, that no was pure anger. It was like, don't you dare. Don't you dare come at me and then quickly try to repair it. Stir up a bunch of stuff and then deny me the opportunity to feel what was stirred up there just because you feel scared. And I just couldn't give a voice to it. And that's how I resolved issues, is finally saying no to kind of instant forgiveness or quick forgiveness. And then finding out how I really felt, and then being able to express in relationship what it is that I really felt, so that I wouldn't find myself there again in those triggers where are those places where people are apologizing. I wanted to get to the root of it, not to prevent things from happening, but so that I could be clear about, am I not expressing something here? Is that how we get here? Because that's how I've seen buried emotions. We're always creating the suffering. So when somebody was apologizing to me, I knew I had to find that anger, and I did. And that's why the no was there. See, if you can trust your body, you would always trust it, even if it's anger, because if you step aside and make it conscious, because you can't express it, then it shows you things. There's like hundreds and hundreds of insights in a way every time you do that, because it teaches you more about who you are and how you hide in relationship. And then as you process the anger, you stop hiding in relationship. You start saying things, and then that just reduces or eliminates the suffering. And then the forgiveness issue is dealt with, because that was there because we were creating suffering. It's pretty cool when you see how that works. It doesn't mean that when we get clear, we wouldn't apologize or something, or of course it's not that, or that guilt wouldn't arise. But if you can see where that comes from, we don't take responsibility for the emotions that we actually feel, is one way of saying it. When something happens, we can't. We have the kind of conditioning that won't allow us to. And so we, by de facto, just de facto, we repress or suppress, because we're a human animal, that's what we do. And it's just in this lifetime, to me, the question is, when will you discover it? That's how I see awakening now. How long will you go in your lifetime before you recognize that the repression is there and it's creating all this? And because once you find it, then you have a shot at ending the suffering. But until then, it's a lot of forgiveness and seeking forgiveness and processing triggers if you're in spirituality and you do that, or just learning to regulate or whatever one does with suffering that one creates. If you could see how clear you could be in relationship and how you would know exactly what you wanted if you knew exactly how you felt, you wouldn't be sitting there creating suffering in relationship. You might not even stay in that relationship or those friendships. Or you might, but how would you know if you want to if you didn't know how you really felt? When you've experienced true forgiveness, what I think people should look for is that wherever you look, you don't find unresolved something around whatever it is. You've checked. And so you don't sit here and say, then you feel that in your being. You feel that you know how you feel about everything. You've uncovered, for example, an old relationship. And so the whole thing feels settled in your being. Suffering is not there anymore. Because what I say is, like, you have clear starts and stops in relationship. So you enter relationships clearly and consciously, and you leave them if you do that way. So you don't carry with you the unresolved, unexpressed emotions when you do KI. So therefore, you don't suffer. You're then available for the next relationship, but you're also more available for the relationships that you're already in. Because when you really go to the buried emotions, you stop creating suffering, you start being more conscious and clear. It doesn't mean nicer necessarily. It just means more conscious and clear in relationship. So that can have a huge impact on relationships that we have already. You'll see that too. But I'm trying to express what happens when you process buried emotions around forgiveness, because it's so completely energetic, is that you just feel different about everything, you know, different than you did when you suffered. You don't sit around and go, oh, there's no regrets. I don't feel regret or remorse. Because if it was there, I went to the pain. Because we carry it all around. You know, we can't be here now without feeling the effects of what we didn't open to. Because it's right here in our bodies. So I just trusted that because I had such pain and found everything I could around this anger that was being stored for my whole lifetime. And I mean, it was around everything and everyone. I called it indiscriminate anger because it was self-protection at the very core. Protection from getting hurt again, because the original offenders, so to speak, were never forgiven, which means I never opened to my trauma. So, you know, as long as the original offenders, the original parents or whoever, if we're still holding the pain for them, we're going to be creating suffering in every relationship. It's unfortunate, but it's true that it started when we were young or before intergenerational, and we just live in this place of suffering, and we do the best we can to kind of moderate that or manage it. But we can't really heal or experience deep forgiveness until we go to the unconscious. Because some of it we just inherited anyway. It's not even ours. Just like, for example, how women feel about men culturally, or just, I've had cultural beliefs that I didn't pick them up just in this lifetime, or it's not just about me. And that was a deep rage for even for men, me towards men, like a cultural belief, and some things towards women are just people. And yeah, you can't even blame one person for that. You can blame a group of people, but it's just our own rage and hurt from that each of us inherit from the collective, from intergenerational trauma, and then we pick it up in this lifetime. When I see people getting sick when they get older, this is what I think about, stuff like this. I don't think about disease. When I meet with someone who says, I just got diagnosed with this or that, I think about all the relationships in which they forgave someone but didn't really forgive them, and then just seethed at the unconscious and stayed with those people or disconnected because of the buried anger, and then went to other people and did the same thing. And then they don't know why at age 50 this disease is here, because they haven't yet done KI. They don't see how it's connected, if it is, to buried emotions. But they will. Take something like respiratory issues and how somebody could have issues breathing. I did too, at night, and having no idea that it's emotional congestion. It's like buried rage right in the chest area where they store it, because it doesn't feel like rage by the time you're 50. It just seems like, well, I'm getting older and I'm having trouble breathing and my doctor says it's this. And we just believe all that. But if we were to go back in consciousness to have the kind of consciousness that you have after you do this work, you would see exactly how it formed. Every time you were with someone, you just let something go. Just let it be, and then you stored anger there. And then you did it again and again, you stored anger there. You do that over a lifetime. Now there's this congestion from the system storing something right here. And now it's hard to breathe because the congestion, I mean, you've stayed safe and gotten love your whole life this way. So it's worked to just store it right there. But then it interferes with the breathing. Or it's back pain or something. And you haven't found it yet where you were storing that. So when you find it though, forgiveness is literal. It's like, it's the dissolving and transmuting of that. Because that holds all your rage and hurt and your fear of getting hurt again. It's right there. So what other forgiveness would there be? If you leave that in place, you try to forgive other people, well, you've got these parts of yourself that are, you haven't even opened to. So who's forgiving? Who is it that's going out forgiving people when you've developed into this identity of suffering because of this? And then, you know, you got to know yourself is what you want to do. You want to go to this form in the body and transmute that, so you can own everything that you feel about what happened and bring it into awareness, because you didn't get to do that at the time. So you kept storing it. And then the breathing problems or the pain. This is why I do the clarity calls, because people will come and say, I was diagnosed with this disease. And I'll say, look, if you have AI chat, first thing you should do when you get diagnosed, see the link between that and buried emotions. Just go look it up. And if it's there, if the studies are there, come and talk to me. And if you don't, I'll look it up while we're talking. And then the next step is just to see that that area or that symptom has this buried rage around people that you've already worked on. This is what I keep seeing with people. People keep coming to me, and forget the people that are actually still suffering and they haven't alleviated much of that. Of course, they are included. But there are people who, they just get curious about KI because it's like this whole forgiveness issue, for example. They'll be like, I've done a lot of work, Scott, and I feel like I've just let go of so much. And like, you know, big releases. But then I'll say, okay, but you have this disease, or that see the suffering that's still there. So what might have happened is what a lot of happens for a lot of people. We have releases of things that are safer than what we've actually buried. And our system produces the transmuting or the release of that energy, which actually does make us feel lighter and more expansive, but it doesn't hit the repression level. In other words, there are a lot of anger repressors having big cries and big hurt that they find, but they don't find the anger. And that's because the buried anger produces that hurt that they then feel and express and release, and then falsely think that they've gotten to the root of that issue, because the buried anger in that case is the root of that issue, but they didn't get to it. The emotional release was even distracting, but they kept having them. And so what I say to people, you don't want to look at your spiritual experiences and shifts. You always want to look at your health, your relationships, and any suffering that's going on when it comes to getting to the root of things, because these spiritual experiences and shifts and emotional releases, or even forgiveness practices, are all being driven by the unconscious, the buried emotions. Until we start making the buried emotions conscious, and then now we're not being driven by that anymore, or the unmet needs with them. But that's the whole thing with forgiveness, is the unmet needs. Because what keeps driving us to forgive, like with anger repressors, I can't say this enough. I think I've already said it once during this podcast. But you're continuously, including how spirituality encourages you to do this, and continuously being okay with what people around you are doing. You know how Eckhart Tolle, this was irresponsible of him, in my view, and really all teachers, to say to a bunch of people, many of whom are anger repressors, that you should just sit and just let things be. Or just say, is that so? Because at the unconscious level, you're not letting that be. You're storing anger. You're so pissed at that person. But at the conscious level, you're just welcoming from a witnessing awareness without seeing how you store the anger each time you do that. And so what that does to your health and to your body, what you have to do, like I said, the respiratory issues or the pain body that doesn't go away because you keep storing that anger by saying or just letting everything and everybody without any boundaries, without expression of what's important or what you need. This constant forgiveness that we hear about in spirituality that's now gotten even attached to awareness practices, that people say, well, if I just be here and I allow it all, then I'm forgiving everything as it arises. But that's like not understanding that you're sitting there creating suffering and then allowing it once you've created it, and thinking that you're truly forgiving the situation or the person or even yourself. But you're sitting there with buried emotions creating suffering and allowing it to stay safe from getting to how you really feel. See that? Until you tap into the buried emotions, you don't know how you actually feel about what happened. And that's the bypass. That's the bamboozle, where we actually don't know, and we cannot feel the emotions that were the scariest for us. And those emotions remain scary for us. So we don't know how we feel in any relationship then. Until we know how we feel, why are we getting involved in forgiveness? And if you just sit here and rest as awareness and think you're getting to how you really feel, then you don't understand how trauma works and how your system holds certain things back, so that you never know that you have that you're angry. And somebody said, well, if my system's storing it, well, then I don't need to deal with it. It's storing it for me. Yeah, but that is also a misunderstanding of how suffering is created and what the science is saying. It's saying that that mechanism creates our suffering. So yeah, of course, if you want to suffer, then you say that. But you don't want to suffer. I mean, we do. We keep creating it because of the repression, but you know, who you really are wants to see this. doesn't want to just keep forgiving people or being okay with everything and then getting sick or staying in suffering. Nobody wants the sabotage when they're conscious and clear enough to see how it works. Question is, are you conscious and clear enough to see how it works? You know, Toshi and I are writing a book called something like The Myth or the False Myth of Immediate Freedom, where we highlight the bypass and how it's connected to emotional repression and how we don't know how we feel. And therefore, we're doing spiritual practice from an unconsciousness like that. And that we can't immediately be free, even though teachers tell us that, because we can't feel what we've buried here immediately. It remains buried. And then it produces the stuff that we're immediately aware of. And so until we process the buried emotions, we're always removed, really, from how we actually feel and what our experience really is. And that's why we can't have immediate freedom, because these emotions are frozen now, and we're dissociated, numbed out, addicted, and in pain and contracted because we can't feel. And so there's no immediate freedom in that. There can be an immediate shift to presence, but then you still can't feel. You still have the body to contend with. So what we're saying ultimately in the book is body first. You're going to transmute the very core of suffering. The body keeps the score. When it feels safe enough to feel and express what's true in the moment, the rest of the awakening to presence comes quite naturally. But when you leave the body out or you go last, well, the body's still keeping the score. So you're still raging when you're forgiving at the surface. See, but when you put the body first, you see, no, I'm raging. I'm not going to go forgive. That would be a bypass. I'm going to go to the buried rage, body first. And that's just an example. But for all suffering, you go to the body first, where it's created. Bring the buried emotion conditioning into awareness so that the suffering that you're creating goes away. In the moment, it goes away. But the point of doing the repression inquiry is that over time, the suffering goes away. And that's what's relevant to forgiveness. Because this will end this lifelong, often lifelong, avoidant, part of the avoidant path for anger repressors, especially, is this constant seeking to forgive everyone when you're really angry. Or hurt repressors who are constantly seeking forgiveness or apologizing for their anger or whatever, and then not getting to the buried hurt for them. I think one of the fundamental things that we have to see is how we need love from each other. We need it as long as we have these buried emotions, and that drives us to do things in relationship for which we're going to have to seek forgiveness. Because we're not honest about it, how these needs from childhood are tied to, because we don't know, are tied to the buried anger. Like if we don't get our need for affection met, we're storing anger, but we can't tell. And so, you know, we're going to keep doing that in every relationship, have these needs for love, approval, and not get them met, and then angry, and then seek forgiveness, or hurt, but then seek forgiveness for however, whatever comes up. But we're doing that to ourselves by not being conscious of how our needs are being projected onto others. They become demands on others, and then suffering gets created, and then we seek forgiveness. A friend of mine said, yeah, I tend to do things and apologize later. I was like, I noticed that about you. And I said, okay, but I have to set a boundary here about that. And I had to start speaking up to that person instead of just, okay, forgiving you for doing that again every time. You know, these are strategies to stay safe and get love. They aren't just coincidences that people keep doing, but they don't have consciousness of it. So that's how we keep doing it and seek forgiveness for it. a lot of it just has to do with how we just don't feel and express what's true. So much of it comes from that. You would be surprised if you haven't seen already how much feeling and expressing what's truly real for you, including buried emotions especially, how that clears things up. It might end a relationship, but it clears things up because a lot of the, well, the suffering is just coming because of we don't go there. And it just clears up a lot of issues that are just hanging out there in relationship, is what I've noticed. Just being able to feel and express more of what's true, set boundaries, know what you want, stop forgiving everybody for everything, stop being around people that you don't want to be around, and you know how it is, and just storing anger. And then look for those genuine connections where once you're really doing the work here, this is what I want to talk about. This is the good news. Is that when you really own the buried stuff, you really start to see the qualities of presence. And they're yours. All of us have these. But we have to deny these because, well, it's not safe to like be powerful if you're an anger repressor. Or it's not safe to be vulnerable if you repress hurt. So we have to do our work. But as we do, see, we already had other qualities. Like anger repressors could be empathetic, compassionate, forgiving, but then can't be powerful, can't be assertive, can't be authentic. So by doing the buried anger, now the power is there, the authenticity and the wisdom that comes from doing that work. And that counterbalances the compassion and forgiveness that's already there, but it makes it real. It makes those qualities authentic because the other quality of power is there. When it's not there, we have to identify with false. We have to be compassionate, but that's really self-protective. We have to be empathetic to basically so that they don't get angry. We have to be forgiving so that we stay safe from what we really feel. And none of that is authentic until we have our power and we know ourselves and we can feel and express what's true and we have that power behind our voice. And then we feel safe within our being to be in relationship and to love. But we can't do that if we keep looking for safety outside of ourselves. And love, by the way, which we'll keep doing as long as we have buried emotions and ignore that. But we all have these qualities. And there's this, that's the true forgiveness. You'll see it. It's that you are that. It's Nisargadatta. Wisdom is seeing I'm nothing. Love is seeing I'm everything. Which means all those parts, all those qualities are just in energetically, it's all energetic in your experience. So you feel different with people. You feel different. You feel like yourself. It's hard to explain, but it's a true awakening to what we are when we own all those parts. And so then you have that internal safety and love. There's no inside or outside, but you find that within yourself. So you have that when you're with people. And then they feel that. It might feel safer to be more authentic and not just go to superficial forms of forgiveness. Or they might not, in which case you might find that you don't want to be there or you want to, that is important for you to mention because you don't want to keep creating suffering in that relationship. See, you have that clarity and that power to do those things, to say those things. And that's really loving because it's like, now I really want to connect. It feels safe to. So I want to talk about that. I want to express what that is for me. That's a secure attachment is what you'll find. That's another way of saying it. Is that as long as we have the trauma we have, we either have the avoidance or the need for tell me we're okay, reassurance, or both. And that's fear. And we can't. It doesn't feel safe, intimacy or anything, when those are there. So the secure attachment is just the dissolving of, in my view, it's the dissolving of this repression. But, you know, forgiveness then with the secure attachment would be, no, you wouldn't sit there and just keep forgiving or trying to work on a relationship that doesn't work because you have that security, or you're not afraid to be alone. But at the same time, you're willing to stick it out and feel and express what's true to see if something would work. But you don't need other people to tell you when to go or when to stay, because you can trust yourself. It's almost like we need to wipe forgiveness somewhat off the map on a spiritual path until much later in the path, when we've made, for example, KI really relational, and we've gone to the buried anger or hurt, and to the unmet needs, and then we're discovering authenticity in relationship, and then we see what else, what's left, what needs to be forgiven, what else needs to be said. But we've cleaned it all up. We're cleaning our mess up on this path. So we're not going to end with a lot of things that we need to find or seek forgiveness for, because that stuff came from the buried emotions. If you're interested in this, or something about your life that the topic of forgiveness is right on top, for some reason it's coming out on Thanksgiving that I want to talk about this. And gratitude came up. It's so cliched, but I'll probably share about that too soon. But anyway, if you resonate, there's a link in the description where you can come and talk to me. Tell me about your battle with forgiveness, lifelong battle with it, and how you still have suffering. And I tell you, that's the number one teacher. It doesn't matter what you've done in forgiveness processes. If there's suffering, you haven't gotten to the root of it. But let's come and talk about that, and maybe the one-on-one intensive will be the right fit for you. And if not, there's also the same link in the description will show you my KI Jumpstarter group. People are just going into that if they don't want to do the one-on-one, where you learn the work in a group setting. Thank you.